All right, let's boogie. We're back here on The Word with G, 29 past the hour of 12 o'clock. Greg Larner here, you there. Let's jump in to the baseball and preview the start to the season. Season gets opening up, opening day, this coming Thursday, just a couple of days away. So I thought, let's get one of my favorite baseball guys on in here. A guy who you see many a times on the MLB Network. He also does a little work on SNY. Sirius XM, of course. He is a University of Miami alum. He's all about the healthy food. He is a big-time foodie, and he also has a brand-new podcast launching tomorrow called Legends Lounge, where him and Orestes Destrade interview former guests of the game, greats of the game, about life after baseball and get VIP access to stories they couldn't share during their playing days. He is the man, the myth, the legend. Mr. Scott Braun is with us now. Scotty, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Greg. I appreciate you. That's an epic intro, first off. Second off, thanks for the plug. And third off, I hope that you don't tell every baseball person that they're your favorite. I trust that that's not the case.
No, it certainly isn't the case, as you are nice enough to take the time always to jump on with us whenever we have baseball, and I always enjoy chopping it up with you. And of course, I'm very jealous as a Mets fan that you have gotten to hang out with Ron and Keith and in the booth many a times, as I'm looking at your Twitter account right now.
You're one of my favorites to talk to, as you know that. And yes, calling games with those two, both together and separately, was absolutely a blast, as you can imagine. I would say maybe even more fun during spring training, because you can be a little wackier. So it creates some pretty interesting conversation, as you know. The actual results of the game don't matter. The results individually matter to an extent, but you can be a little goofier during spring training, which I love. And I was in Mets camp, Braves camp, the whole deal, so I know we'll jump into all of that, but I definitely had myself a nice little two-week tour down in Florida, and I'm just recently back.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad to have you back. I'm sure that was awesome, and I'm sure you missed baseball with the lockout and the negotiations and things like that. But let's leave that in the past. Let's talk a little bit about the Atlanta Braves coming into this season, because we are, you know, an affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. And I know that we have a lot of Braves fans in this area. So just quickly, give us the outlook on, from your perspective, on the Braves coming into this season. Obviously, they lose Freddie Freeman and they bring in Matt Olson. They bolster the bullpen with Kenley Jansen. But other than that, it seems sort of status quo for the Braves. Why do you view them going into this 2022 season?
The biggest news for them in the last couple weeks, as you know, and we'll probably take a few minutes on that as well, is the injuries to the New York Mets pitching staff right away. Because in my mind, it was, I don't want to say it's a two-horse race, because I do like Philadelphia to an extent. The problem with me on Philadelphia is they're somewhat top-heavy. Their lineup has gotten a lot longer, but I'm saying, you know, like starting rotation-wise, you look at them, if someone like Wheeler goes down, they're in a ton of trouble. Where this has been the case with Atlanta, especially the past few years, the depth is so strong, and even if there is a hole to patch, Anthopoulos goes above and beyond to do that, story of last year's trade deadline going into the playoffs in the World Series, that Atlanta's in good shape. So I wouldn't call them a top-heavy team. I mean, a couple of years ago, many would have said that they think Mike Soroka is the best pitcher in the rotation. We've barely seen him, of course, due to injuries the past couple of years. So that just speaks to the organization, I think, that Anthopoulos has built. So for me right now, Greg, clear cut number one team heading into the season in the division. I know they've won four in a row, but for me, it was like, okay, you know, if you do get somehow 30 starts out of DeGrom and Scherzer, they could cause trouble at the top of the division. Now, in my mind, I would have a hard time seeing Atlanta not take this division again. Of course, we'll see what happens. You know, you never know injury wise, but I know on that front, Ronald Acuña is coming back soon. So if anything, it helps them even more. I really liked what they did. I mean, Kenley Jansen to just bolster a bullpen that already was pretty strong. Oh, and let's add Colin McHugh, who was sneaky one of the best relievers in baseball last year as well. They brought back Rosario, who I think is a great fit there. Matt Olson is awesome. So as much as I hate how the Freddie situation went down, I really do. I mean, maybe it's too Disney-ish or storybook of me to think that a player of that ilk could stay with a team the whole way through and the money wasn't that far off. And then, you know, I wish that really both sides, but especially for me on the team side, Team Friendly deal last time around, that they could have kept someone like that the whole way through. But if you're going to replace Freddie, they did it right. I mean, Matt Olson's definitely a streakier player, more pop in the bat. defense is superb. So he's going to be a great replacement for them. Freddie's got more of the hit tool going, but I don't think they're going to skip too much of the beat on that front. I mean, maybe you'll see that pop up more in the playoffs because Olsen's the kind of guy in my mind still that can get the swing messed up and go 1-for-20 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I know Freddie had the little bit of the slump there too at one point in the playoffs, but generally, I mean, he's one of the most consistent players in the sport, Freddie, in my mind. I think he'll be that way still for a while. But to wrap it all up, Greg, best team in the division, in my mind at this point, easily. It's one of the easier division picks that I've had to make.
That's going to make a lot of Braves fans in this area very, very happy to hear that. I'm glad that you're playing to the audience here as well, like a true professional that you are. Again, Scott Braun, our guest here on The Word with G. But I just wanted to quickly just dive a little bit deeper into that Matt Olson versus Freddie Freeman debate. And a lot of Braves fans that I've talked to are, of course, upset that Freddie's not coming back because they wanted him to sort of be like the next Chipper Jones in terms of a lifelong Brave and a guy that finishes his career here. And now that the DH is coming to the National League, that, hey, we really feel like he can extend his time here. And when he gets older, he can still hit. You mentioned the hit tool. And to me, it's the clutch gene for Freddie Freeman. And as a Met fan watching the National League East and watching Freddie Freeman just destroy everybody within it, that is one thing that I have a big question when it comes to Matt Olson, because like you said, he can be very streaky. He can go 1-for-20, in a stretch, and it doesn't look pretty. But I will say this, as a younger sort of version, as a guy who's like 27, 28, he has gotten better, and his averages has increased and is improved every step of the way. So as you mentioned, it is a nice guy to replace Freddie Freeman if you have to replace him. There's not much better you can do.
No, I mean, Matt Olson is arguably, I would say, a top five first baseman in the game. Last year, there was no argument. He might have been top three in the category last year. I mean, he's a Gold Glove winner at first base. The defense, you can't get much better on that front. Not to get too deep into analytics, but one of my favorite stats, OPS plus, on base plus slugging percentage, but it's weighted against league average and with ballparks, which I think is big. Matt was 153 last year. That was third best in all of the American League. 153, 53% better than the average hitter, 39 home runs in a pitcher's ballpark at that. This is a guy in my mind that has to have this swing plane right. You know, he's got the pretty classic uppercut swing in my mind, and sometimes that can get a little off. I think we saw that in 2020. He was struggling with the inside fastball a little bit, had trouble turning balls fair. And then he learned a lot, he told me, from Jed Lowry last year with the Oakland A's. It was actually, I mean, again, going maybe a little bit deeper into the analytics, you know, we've talked about launch angle in our sport a lot over the past 5 to 10 years. The guy that gets so much launch actually could cut that down a little bit, and that's what he did, and it cut down his strikeouts as well. He was just reading pitches better, playing to the pitch better, still had the power there. It just kind of all came together. And as it is, I mean, if he makes contact, he generates sick topspin with the baseball, and you'll see that. So he put it all together last year. It's just a matter of if that can stay the same. It's just that I do think that swing at some time can get off kilter, and that's where you're going to see an issue. But if last year was any indication, I mean, he was MVP-ish last year. So I know the whole story, he's from the area, Lilburn, whatever. Okay, cool. I mean, that doesn't do a ton for me. And usually, you know, one guy staying with a team the whole way through doesn't do a ton for me. It's just that I think what Freddie has done to the organization, being on what I think you'd call a team-friendly deal the first time around, then you're looking at last spring training going, wow, this still hasn't gotten done. Let's see how things go. He was awesome, and they won a World Series. So then you're like, oh, this is automatic. Even if they have to pay him an extra, you know, $20 million over the length of the contract, they're going to get it done, right? Yep. No, they just stuck to their guns and said, forget it. And they went with a younger player who's, what, 4 or so years younger than Freddie Freeman. So point is, Olson, in my mind, is, I think, going to be a regular all-star player in the league for years to come. I think he'll fit in really well there. So I think they did well. It could have been much worse. If they didn't get him, it would have been a huge problem, because I don't think there was an adequate replacement at that level versus what Freddie brings to the table. But I do agree with you. I think they'll miss certain components of Freddie's game, maybe more so in the playoffs. The only thing that holds me back from saying, oh, you know, they're going to completely miss Freddie, is that the lineup's still really strong. You know, what they have from front to back, and Ozuna back, and Acuna coming back. I even like some of the prospects on the way. I'm a Drew Waters fan, so I think they'll be fine on offense, and I think they've strengthened their team overall, especially the bullpen. They might have the best bullpen, I think, in baseball heading on paper heading into this season.
Again, Scott Braun, our guest, and yeah, Alex Anthopoulos, as you mentioned, has been great. I think he dropped the ball a little bit in the beginning of last year, coming into the year, just not having a lot of depth in terms of bench depth, and then he righted that ship at the All-Star break when Acuña went down, and yeah, obviously they went on to win the World Series. But let's move over to a couple of the other teams. You mentioned Philadelphia. I do like them. I like their lineup a lot, but like you said, their rotation isn't super deep. And with the Mets, they do seem to have a deep rotation, you know, if people can stay healthy, but that is always the problem with the New York Mets. DeGrom going to be out a little while. Scherzer said he's expected to make his, not opening day, he's not going to be the opening day starter, but he said he's probably going to start on Friday in D.C. against the Nationals. And then you add in Chris Bassitt. You still have Taijuan Walker, Carlos Carrasco, a couple of young players like Tyler McGill and David Peterson as well there in the rotation. And then I guess talk about that, and then talk about what you think about their lineup. Is Lindor prime for a bounce back? Do you like the additions of Escobar and Starlin Marte? And does Robinson Cano do anything for you coming back?
Hey, Robbie can still hit. You talk about hit tool, that's there for him as well. So I think he'll provide depth. I mean, hey, that's the name of the game, especially when you're coming off a shortened spring training. Look back to a couple years ago. It affects pitching more than affects position players, but still, I would not be surprised if you see a pretty heavy dose of injuries in the first month or two, especially of the season, because it wasn't your classic spring training setup. That's also why the rosters were expanded for the first month of the year. You're going to have two extra players. You're going to be able to option players frequently where, you know, after that point, there's going to be the rule of five options allowed for players. There'll be a lot of shuffling right now. I'm pretty close between the Mets and the Phillies at my mind. At this point, I might give the edge to Philadelphia because going into the season, at least, everybody is pretty much in good health. And I do think if you look at the top of Philly's rotation and it's healthy at the moment, I mean, I love what Zach Wheeler has done for this team. I think Aaron Nola is going to be a little bit better for Philly this year. I think their bullpen got a little bit better again, kind of stretching away from what it was a couple of years ago where it was terrible. Sir Anthony Dominguez coming back, I think, is a big help. Brad Hand, I think, is going to be pretty good. Corey Knebel looked awesome at the end of the year for the Dodgers. He's going to be their closer. So on the Mets side, Greg, yeah, I think they're option 2B in my mind right now. If you want to separate things and force me, I'll go number 3 at the moment, just because at this point, I would say the over-under now for Jacob DeGrom starts is the same as last year when they weren't a playoff team. That's 15. Now, I just think it puts a lot more of the onus on Scherzer making his 30 or so starts. The Chris Bassitt trade, super clutch. In my mind, Bassett's about a number 2 starter, and he's been pretty durable in his career, so that helps. So, yeah, their rotation's good. It's just that it was special. It was like this team's a playoff team in my mind. If DeGrom was giving you, 25 starts even, right? At this point, I don't know what to trust. I mean, now already we're kind of banking on him coming back. In my mind, it's probably July at this point. I know they're saying June. It might be July, which is already half the season missed. So bullpen's decent. I don't think it's amazing. It's not Braves level. It's decent. And then as far as the offense goes, I think the offense is actually a little bit underrated. I think Lindor is going to bounce back. He was much better in the last couple months of the season. Spoke to him when I was down at camp, and he's just like, hey, things tightened up a little bit. The season moved fast on me, living in New York City and dealing with all of that. Big change from Cleveland. So, yeah, I think Cano provides depth. Davis, the DH, helps this team more than almost any team because they have too many hitters in my mind, right? Like, Dom Smith's a great first baseman. Mm-hmm. He's going to play some outfield. Maybe he gets some more starts at first so that Alonso can DH more often. So, yeah, Canna pickup, Starling Marte pickup, Nimmo's good on base guy. I think Smith's going to bounce back, by the way. I think he was playing pretty hurt last year, too. So, I think the Mets offense is solid, but the Phillies did damage. Castellanos can really hit. Schwarber can really hit. So, yeah, I think there's a pretty distinct top 3 in my mind in the National League East. And then I would put the Marlins and then the Nationals, who are in their little rebuild mode. The Marlins, for me, have a nice pitching staff, but they haven't done enough to their offense in my mind. So that's where I've got it ranked.
Scott Braun, again, our guest from Major League Baseball Network. Just a couple of more minutes with him. Just quick, Scott, I just wanted to get your take just in general of, we kind of know the teams that are sort of going to be good in each league, but is there any team other than the top teams that have really sort of, you think, improved this offseason that you think are maybe ready to play in prime time and get to the postseason and maybe make a run at this thing and make some things interesting that maybe a lot of us aren't thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you speak to many other, you know, baseball analysts or whoever you've had on, they might throw a team like Toronto out there. I don't really think that's surprising anyone, don't you? I mean, I think there's that have the Blue Jays winning the division. I've heard that. It's like, hey, Toronto's my surprise team. I'm like, they're not a surprise team. They just missed the playoffs. They didn't even play at home half the year last year. They've improved their team a pretty good amount in my mind. So I wouldn't put them in that category. Let me know how you feel about this one, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle Mariners. I mean, they actually won 90 games last year, but it was a pretty quiet
quietly.
Team.
Yeah.
And also, there was a lot of talk about the run differential, which, I mean, that's not getting deep at all if you're not into the stats. It's just how many runs you score versus how many you give up. And they were a minus 51 as a 90 and 72 team. Like, that is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I even think there's an outlier there because I think they fell so behind in that category early on and won some close games. But then they played pretty equal for the rest of the season. And, hey, let's be real. I think Scott Servais did a nice job managing his bullpen late in games. I think that made a difference. So did they outperform expectations and technically, you know, what their record should look like on an average year? Maybe. But then, whoa, what did they do this offseason? They added a top-flight starting pitcher, number one guy if he stays on the mound, in Robbie Ray. They have a lot of young prospects coming through right now that are very impressive. I really like Logan Gilbert. Julio Rodriguez is my favorite prospect in baseball. We just found out he's going to start the season on the team. He's instantly the front runner for American League Rookie of the Year and can be an impact bat from day one. He looks the part. He looks ready. He's a monster, and he does everything well. And then the Jesse Winker trade was sneaky good.
Yeah.
That's Cincinnati sending over their all-star hitter who was fantastic last year. And if anything, I mean, sometimes you can knock his defense. Now there's a DH in both leagues anyway. So I think another year of Haniger will be good. But so there's my team. I even feel bad saying that because they still were a 91 ball club. But I do think they were somewhat overlooked. And I think the Mariners, in my mind this year, I've been on that train in terms of what they're building for a while because I like a lot of their prospect base. Greg, I think they're a playoff team this year. Do they win the division? Not necessarily. They could. But I think they're the at least second best team in the division pretty distinctly in my mind. Like, it's Houston and Seattle, and then the rest for me. Then the Angels, then I'd put Texas, and then I'd put Oakland. So watch out for Seattle. I think they can win. If they win 90, they're in the playoffs this year. There's an extra team. So
yeah.
I think they win 90-plus.
Absolutely. But the only thing that sort of scares me about Seattle, and maybe this is some of my Met bias and Met hurt coming out, is I see Chris Flexen slotted in as the fourth starter, and I remember him when he was a Met a couple of years ago. And it was not pretty. So the fact that he is a fourth starter, I'm like, how deep is this rotation?
No. Yeah, there's guys coming up too, I will say, on the pitching front. I mean, they've got a good-looking prospect rotation coming as well. But I will say this about Chris Flexen. You saw the 3 years of Chris Flexen with, let's see, 68 innings and 8 ERA control issues. Then he goes over to Korea, also dropped like 30, 40 pounds, refines the curveball. Just a completely different pitcher when he came back. Command is much better. You can look at the walk rate. Changeup was his best pitch last year. So he actually slots in my mind as a pretty decent number four, number five.
Okay.
That's all they need him to be to eat innings. So
I'll take your word for it.
Not the same guy that we dealt with in New York City for a few years. The talent was somewhat there. He couldn't harness it. And you see players go overseas sometimes and then come back as a completely different pitcher. And Chris Flexen is one of those guys. So, have some faith there.
Okay, I'll try to have some faith. And they have, obviously, Jared Kelenic as well from the Mets as well. So they've got some good pieces over there. But my last thing, just quickly, give me the two teams. I know this is way too early, but I love to do this to you. Just beginning of the season that you feel like are going to represent the American League and the National League when it's all said and done in the Fall Classic of the World Series.
Oh, wow. So I haven't thought through this yet, so maybe I'll somewhat do it on the fly. For me, in the American League, I'm between the White Sox and the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm going to lean towards, I'm going to say it's going to be a special year for Toronto. They've dealt with so much crap the last couple of years with the pandemic and all the rules up in Canada. So I'll just go ahead and vault Toronto into the World Series. I think they're young, fresh, a lot of players in their prime. Really like what they've done with their rotation. Yeah, you lose Robbie Ray, you add Kevin Gausman, who I think is awesome too, and a guy who's completely put it all together. I love Alex Manoah. I think that they'll have to do maybe some more work with the bullpen, but you're always able to help that cause at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So I think they will do what they need to do. There's still a lot of good prospect capital in their system. So I'll go Toronto on one side, and on the other side, I'm going to go with the Dodgers. I mean, maybe that's a little bit of a cop-out, but I still think the Dodgers, I mean, their lineup is stupid. It's ridiculous. The rotation's where the problem could be, but another team pumping out prospects.
Yeah.
Like, this is to the cause of, hey, you can be a team that's getting, you know, a pick in the last 3-4 picks of every first round for years and still pump out prospects that are upper echelon. And that's what the Dodgers have been doing. So I say that just as much because when the trade needs to be made, they've got enough to pull it off as much as any other team. So I'll go Dodgers, Blue Jays. Like, I'm tempted to go Atlanta, Greg, but it's just, here's my thing. I'm going to stick to the rule of so difficult to do it back-to-back to even get to the World Series back-to-back. We've barely seen that. So that's where I'll put the knock. I'm not knocking the roster. I'm just knocking recent history, the past couple decades.
Yeah, it's hard to repeat for sure. Again, Scott Braun has been our guest here on The Word with Jeef. You can find him all over MLB Network. Find him on Twitter, at Scott Braun. It's nice and easy. And don't forget, he's got that fresh new podcast launching tomorrow called Legends Lounge with Orostis Destrade, interviewing former greats of the game about life after baseball, and you get a VIP access to different stories they couldn't share during their playing days as well. Scott, good luck with the podcast. Have a great time this year on Major League Baseball Network. You know we'll always be watching. I got people texting me saying, man, I love Scott Braun. I can't believe you have him on. Like, it's great, man. You got a lot of fans out there, so keep doing your thing, and I always appreciate you taking a little time here for me to talk a little baseball in the Word with G.
I appreciate you, G. You're one of the best. I really enjoy the convos. As always, text me anytime, and I'll be back. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, buddy. There he goes. Scott Braun right here on The Word with G.